News for Gamers, Internet's Now radio program proudly presents...
BN4G Podcast!
Every week you're tuning in, listening to us ramble on about the latest in gaming news. And without further ado, let us introduce you to Zero Tolerance, Gambit's Con. Give Pepper Wombat to a special guest or two if we are nice enough to let them on our podcast, the N4G Podcast.
Yeah, that's cool.
Jesus, we should have a cluck off.
That's terrible. Hey, man, shut the cluck up.
All right, we are back for another week. News for Gamers podcast radio for the week of April 21st, 2007. And to start off, you'll have to excuse me. I'm coming over a head cold, so there'll be a lot of sniffling and possibly some sneezing, and my voice is going to be raspy and broken.
It's a very sick podcast.
It is a very sick podcast, but I'm here trudging through for the listeners.
You're a trooper.
I am a trooper. Yeah.
That's why we love
Speaking
it.
Of the trooper.
That should be in the theme song.
It should be.
Zero tolerance, trudging through for you.
I walk up eight miles uphill both ways through the snow.
Through the snow.
With
no shoes?
With no shoes. But in the studio we have the Wombat, Ryan Wombode.
What's up, folks?
We have Justin, the Killer Wolverine, Testa.
Yo.
And we have the birthday boy, Jason Gambuscon Gambrell.
What's up?
Happy birthday, Gambus.
Oh, thank you.
Make sure all of you on the forum send Gambus a hefty check for his birthday.
Yeah, I need some birthday money.
Yeah, because he spent it all on a $40 demo. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
And while we're on, you know, sending checks, you know, send money my way because you ain't got a job.
I broke.
Yeah, but you still buy more stuff than me, which is amazing without a job.
I have my ways.
It's magic.
Yeah. He has his ways in bathroom stalls and dirty subway bathrooms.
It's magic.
But anyway, we're going to move on to what's fondling your console. And I'm going to start with Gambuscon this week because I'm interested.
Well, you're going to burn me at the stake early, huh?
Yes.
No, okay.
We're interested to see how this $40 demo's playing out.
Okay.
We'll just start with the $40 demo.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, I started out on the PC.
What? You're on the wrong podcast. I'm kidding.
I started out on the PC. I picked up Guild Wars again, like playing it. And it's a nice alternative. It's a nice free alternative to World of Warcraft.
You've always expressed your love for the Guild Wars.
Yeah, Guild Wars is pretty sweet. And you know something? I've come to the conclusion.
Okay.
MMOs.
You beat it? Oh.
No.
Different conclusion.
MMOs are the future of gaming.
Well, we won't debate that today.
Yeah, that's
yes,
okay.
Please.
That's an interesting debate.
Yes.
But it's a very long debate.
It's a
probably.
Very, very long
we should
debate.
Make that a,
but the thing is.
I think we should make that a topic.
Yeah.
It's a debate that I feel is solid given due to higher gas prices and lower car activity. But anyway.
We'll get into it one day.
I will kill you on that one day.
Maybe we set that one up for next week, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Okay.
Move on.
PlayStation. I'm not going to go there yet. Xbox 360. I played Ikaruga.
Nice.
Ikaruga.
I did as well.
Yeah, me too. I bought it finally.
You know what's funny is I bought a 16-point card at
1,600 points?
Yeah, 1,600 points card. And for some reason, it was invalid.
Nice.
It was invalid. It didn't work at all. So I took it back to the store, and I got to give mad props to a librarian named Conan.
Yeah, I know who you're talking
about. Yeah, he helped me out. I exchanged and got a new card, and... And it works. It works.
You know, so, Conan the Librarian says that if you ever beat him in gamer score points, he will cry a slow, slow cry.
Oh, okay. Well,
that's your goal.
That's my goal.
That's your goal. You're about 3,000 behind him right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. But Yeah, I got to give Matt props. I downloaded Ikaruga, and it's fantastic.
So, did you... I noticed you didn't have the achievement for beating the first boss. Did you actually beat the first level?
No.
Okay. I was just curious because I figured you'd beat it.
Thing is, though, I used to own it. Well, I still do own it for GameCube. And I made it to, like, stage 3 or 4. But it's just a question of time, right. You know, to learn
the
pass.
It's a very, very hard game.
It
and,
is a hard game.
By the way, shoot 'em up fans in Japan are raising a fuss over Ikaruga on Xbox Live Arcade.
Okay.
Because, get this, they said the game's ruined because all the attack patterns, well, most of them, are actually changed.
Oh.
So it has different attack patterns, like the bosses and some of the enemies would shoot their guns in different patterns. So I guess because they memorized the entire game, like, by heart, that they have to relearn the game all over again.
Oh, boo freaking who. That's not ruining the game. That's adding more to it.
Yeah, and the thing is, though, I remember reading an interview in a magazine with Treasure, and Treasure actually developed the Xbox Live Arcade version. So it's still a completely Treasure game. It's not done by an outside contractor. So...
People
it's like,
with way too much time on their hands are the only people that are going to notice.
And you know
that.
What?
Exactly.
Only shoot 'em up fans would complain about repetitive patterns being changed.
Yeah.
Like only shoot 'em up fans would complain about.
Yeah, they must have memorized every single pattern.
Well, yeah, because they want to post their replays on the leaderboards now and stuff so they can show off, and now they have to relearn it again.
Yeah, boo hiss. Yeah.
Dang.
But anyway, I played that, and... also on 360, I played Mass Effect. I completed the Pharos world level.
Nice.
And then I was like, I want to try that new downloadable content, the Bring Down the Sky mission.
Right.
So I was like, I'm going to play all the way through this. I got a couple hours to spare. I'm going to play through it. So I did.
Awesome.
And it is awesome.
You know, I haven't, as much time as I sunk into Mass Effect, I still haven't actually got back into that yet.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't gone back and got the downloadable content yet. Just because Mass Effect, until I beat it, that was the only game that I played, pretty much. I played other stuff on the side, but the main game that I played was Mass Effect.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to distance myself from it a little bit so I don't burn myself out.
Well, that's cool.
But I'm going to go back and play that here very soon.
It took me about an hour and 40 minutes to beat it, and it's a pretty cool level. It's got a pretty good presentation. It's got plenty of voice acting, and I'm wondering if they did the voice acting during the initial creation of the game or if they recalled some of the voice actors back for the downloadable content. I'm thinking they probably recorded it originally, and they knew about doing the downloadable content, so
yeah, I mean they probably had it all written and not just coded yet.
Yeah.
So,
but it was an interesting mission, and at the very end of the mission, you're actually given a choice that just might affect future sequels.
Really?
Yeah, you have to make a really, really. It was a difficult decision. I actually had to think about it for like a minute. I'm like, huh. Okay, it's one of those damned if you do, damned if you don't scenarios that goes completely one way or the other.
Right.
And then
looking forward to that.
And then I'm like, okay, my character is a goody-goody two-shoes. I'm playing as goody-goody.
Right.
So what would they do?
Right, yeah. Yeah. That's
so I'm like, I'll choose this. And then it's like, okay, but this might bite you on the butt down the line, you know. So, and another thing that's cool about the mission is at the end of it, the dude gives you a choice of a prize. Mm-hmm. You'd either get money, I think it was money, meta gels for health,
right,
or new medium armor.
Oh,
and I
nice.
chose the armor, and when I equipped it, all of a sudden I had like double the shield and double the strength of armor. And I'm like, holy crap, this is like double as powerful as my most powerful armor at that time. So it's like, man, I got some awesome armor now.
Cool.
But that's my 360 finally. And then on the PS3, I played Folklore.
Nice.
Yeah, because it dropped half in price.
Where'd you find it?
Funko Land. Because EB didn't
Funko
have it.
Funko Land. That's where I got mine.
Yeah, the price dropped in half.
Yeah.
Like overnight. It's like, 60, next day, 30, get it, you know. And,
digging it?
I played through the first part of it, and I really like it.
Did you play it with the DualShock?
Yes. Yes. That's another purchase I did. It's my birthday. Extra
it's birthday. It's your birthday.
Extra money blowing week, pretty much for me. Yeah. So I picked up a DualShock 3 and
DualShock triple.
It's pretty. I like it. It's awesome. It feels like the DualShock 2 for PS2, except without the wire.
It's got better analog sticks now. I think.
Yeah.
It's much better. I bought one too, and Folklore like changed because the first night I had Folklore and I played it. I played it with the 6-axis, and then I played it with the DualShock, and how it like fights you when you're pulling the souls out of the folks.
Yeah,
it was just
it's
so
nice,
cool.
Man.
It's very cool.
Yeah, it's got a good it's got some good motors inside of it.
Get your motor running,
yeah.
What's your price for flight?
Yeah, and finding Mr. Right. Okay, that was so good. All right,
that's enough.
But anyway,
for now. We can move on past the Night Ranger talk.
Yeah, and the last bit of fondling was a overpriced demo.
Oh, for God's sake. Do you have to keep saying that?
No.
That's the new title.
Here's the thing, though. I don't regret buying it. You know why?
No.
Because I'm a glutton, and I'm a schmuck. So that's why.
Aw. Come on now.
You're not a schmuck.
No.
Nobody thinks you're a schmuck.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. It was completely worth it now.
So you enjoy it?
Yes. Yes, I do enjoy it. Oh, man. The graphics. Oh.
That's one thing I will not diss on the GT is that it is freaking gorgeous.
It is incredibly beautiful. One of the best. It's like it's the Uncharted of racing games.
It's a pretty good comparison.
It's just so beautiful, man. It's like the reflections, the details, especially the replays. When you watch those replays, it literally looks like real life, you know. There's every once in a while you might see a little slight anti-aliasing in like in the lines of the car,
right.
Every once in a while during certain lighting conditions.
Right.
But then when you see certain other angles, it looks flat out real life. And to tell you the truth, I'm actually having pretty fun with it. And I'm actually getting better at it, and I'm not sucking as I did in most racing games. Especially Gran Turismo, I can't get anywhere. I mean, I'd always wreck every turn. Now, it's like I wreck maybe once every few laps, and it might be a slight wreck, not a spin, like not a complete 360 or anything, but just a slight, something. And I've actually pulled myself out of certain conditions where it could have gotten worse, and then I'd like make a quick decision and just be like going straight again, like instantly.
Right.
And I'm like, I think I'm kind of learning the controls of this. And the thing is, if it looks triple A, the game does it. Triple A look, triple A presentation. It feels like a triple A game. But the, the content of the game feels like a budget title. It's like budget title content, but triple A feel and presentation.
Now, is it true? I read somewhere that you can't upgrade your cars until you get the A license. Is it?
Yeah.
See, that's a little frustrating to me. I won't comment on it too much because I haven't played it, but upgrading the cars and all that is one of my favorite parts of sim racers like GT and like Forza. And the license stuff is one of my least favorite parts of the Gran Turismo series.
I hate license tests.
So it's a little that is a little off-putting to me. Hopefully they'll change that for the final version, and you'll be able to upgrade your cars from the very beginning. But we'll see. Because like I said, that's the upgrading the car part of it is one of my favorite parts of.
Did you buy a disc-based version or the downloadable?
Yeah, I got the disc-based version because I'm not really comfortable about giving like credit card info over game system stuff like that. I really wish that Sony would bring out a card.
I have that in news.
Yep.
Uh-oh.
Oh, snap.
Please tell. Well, I'll wait.
Yeah,
but
you can't spoil.
Yeah, I can't spoil the news. But anyway, I like the disc version because it comes with a this is me being a geek. I like documentaries. I like freaking behind the scenes. You know, if a movie comes out, there's a single disc version and a double disc version, I'll buy the double disc version because I'm always like interested in how things work in terms of movies and video games and stuff like that. Well, I picked it up because it had the sticker on it that said it had the documentary. I think it's called Beyond the Apex.
Which isn't it that downloadable on PSN? I was surfing through the PlayStation store and I thought
it probably
I saw
is, but it would probably be hefty because it's like a half hour long. And a half hour long, you know, video demo would like take probably like 4 hours on a PSN. But no, I'm serious. Like a half hour demo, not demo, but a half hour video would probably take that long. But it was a good documentary, and it's got this feature called GTTV.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
And this morning, because I played a little bit this morning, I played some online games. And the online is actually a little tiny bit of lag, but I'll say this. It about 90% of the time, it's silky smooth. 10% of the time, it's just barely enough lag to notice.
That's probably because it's on dedicated servers because it's a Sony first party.
Yeah, but online, it runs fantastic, and I'm already knowing that I freaking suck when I compare to the online community because you can tell that they're really good at the game.
Those Japanese guys are sick at that game.
Most of the people that play are U.S. and Canada.
I figured the Europeans and the Japanese would be dominating the leaderboards on GT. Yeah. Now, GTTV, what is that?
GTTV
Game Trailers TV?
just about. It's the first two videos that come with the disc are, of course, the documentary and the intro to the game. So those are the first two videos. I logged on to PSN this morning when I went on to load up my prologue, and there were two new videos that just came out, and you watch the videos, and you download the video, or one of them was already completely downloaded, and it was weird, and the other one wasn't downloaded, so I was kind of thinking, was this a preloaded video that just got unlocked? And then there was another one that was downloadable, and it's documentaries about individual cars. There's one documentary about the creation of the Mitsubishi Evolution 4. And it's like all about how they came up with that particular car. And I guess it's like a 12-minute documentary or 15-minute documentary. So I mean, for gearheads, man, it's got some pretty interesting stuff attached to just the game itself.
So here's a question.
Okay.
Back to your online, does it support voice chat?
I did not use Bluetooth headset. I just played straight up controller, so they could have been cussing me out and telling me that I'm a noob and that I just got pwned. But I didn't know. But it runs smooth. It runs really smooth. I'm enjoying it. And you actually get money on online races, even if you, like, last place, which I was a couple times.
It's kind of like Forza.
Yeah.
You get prize money for each different place you get.
Yeah, but overall, I would say for me it was worth it. But I think generally, I think it could have been a $30 would have been a sweet spot. And if it was if I was Sony, it would be $20 for the downloadable version and $30 for the disc version. I think that would have been the sweet spot.
There's your sweet spot.
Yeah,
that's GT5 Prologue.
And that concludes my fondling.
Cool. So what are you looking forward to playing this week?
Epic.
More of the same. More Mass Effect. More Prologue. Because I'm really enjoying Prologue. More Folklore. And maybe even some more Guild Wars.
Excellent.
And obviously GTA 4.
Which is funny because when the show goes live, when we record the show next week, it'll be just like the Smash Brothers weekend, which it'll be immediately following the show. Everybody runs to EB or GameStop to pick up Mario Kart.
And that's what I was just going to say. No one's playing Smash Brothers anymore. No one here is saying, well, we'll play more Smash Brothers.
Well, what's up with your Wii owners? Is a big multiplayer game, and none of us really get together to play it. So, and online sucks a fat one. So
it doesn't just suck. I would say that online is so completely absurd that I think I had better connection on my 386 PC, like playing like Doom when it would kick you off like every two steps. I think that was a better experience
on Duango
than
who remembers Duango?
Duango.
No, not Fago, ICP guy.
I said Duango. Right. But anyway,
Nintendo fans' heads am explode.
Yeah, because they're completely, absurdly crappy online. I don't even think that the Wii has online. It's an illusion.
All righty then.
It's an illusion.
Mr. Wolverine, we'll move on to you.
Not too much this week. I beat Uncharted, which, despite some protest of hate through Professor Chaos.
He didn't like it.
He didn't like it. I thought the ending was good.
Professor.
I thought the game was good.
I thought the whole game was great.
Yeah.
Beginning to end.
Beginning to end. It was like a movie.
Yes. Very long interactive movie.
Yes. So I beat that. Got the show.
That show?
And, it's...
It's there. You don't like the show.
No. I played it online with Boogeyman, and oh, lag.
There's no voice chat either, is
there? No voice chat, which, oddly enough, it says you can chat in the instruction manual. And
really?
Well, you guys probably just didn't figure out how to
do it. No, we went through every icon, everything, and we could not chat.
Well, as soon as this podcast goes live, somebody's going to post and tell you how to do it.
Probably, but we went through everything.
Well, apparently you missed this one thing.
Whatever.
Probably I don't have to push a button.
Really care because I'm not going to play it online again. So it was bad. Lag was horrible. It's just, but I've been playing Road to the Show a lot for some reason. It's just more fun to play than the season mode.
It's a lot more personal.
Yeah,
I love Road to the Show. Road to the Show.
It's hard, like Peterson was saying, but
yeah, it's definitely hard at first because your guy sucks.
Yeah, he really does suck. So, playing a lot of that, and we played some Unreal the other night.
Unreal
online.
Tournament.
And the
I've been eyeing that game at the store.
Unreal.
Well, stop eyeing it and get it.
But be careful at this point. We have some news about Unreal later.
Okay.
Shit. Okay.
Yeah.
And the chat glitch does work. Holding
yes,
down
it
the,
does. If you hold down the chat button, then pause the game, release it, and unpause it, everybody can talk. And it doesn't change after the game loads
either.
It kept going, which was nice.
Yep. So that's good little glitch.
If you have a map cycle, if you have to go out and come back in,
then you
have to do it again.
Right.
Gotcha.
I think that's it. I'm waiting for my 360 to come back Tuesday.
The week before GTA hits.
Yep. So I'll be looking forward to playing that and more more Viking. And I got Dark Sector for an early birthday present.
So, yes, we'll have to try out some Dark Sector online.
Yeah.
I think we'd be the only two playing.
Probably. But, you know, playing that, Condemned, finally get to play Condemned. A lot of things I'm looking forward to playing again. My PS3 is going to take a back seat. But I have Ratchet and Clank coming through Gamefly, which I should have got yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be looking forward to that, hopefully, tomorrow or Monday or whatever day comes. Whatever.
It's a good game.
I guess I'm geeked out. I'm so excited to play my PS3 now that I have a DualShock.
Yeah.
Oh, I really am. I mean, it's
so are you going to get Grand Theft Auto for PS3 now?
No. It's not going to be like where I start changing what system I buy stuff on, but I look forward to playing more games on it. Like, I went back and played MotorStorm because of that.
Which,
I'll get to that in my final.
I'm such a nerd.
I am a nerd. I love Rumble, man. I do.
I'll be picking up MotorStorm and probably... I'm trying to find Folklore, which is why I asked you, because I know it's $60 at, like, Best Buy, but... $30, EB dropped their price, but you can't buy it online at their website, and I can't find it. So.
Well, I'll have to keep an eye out.
Yeah, because y'all sold me on it, and I want to try and play that, but if not, it's on my Gamefly queue as number one, so.
Well, there you go. And that wraps up yours?
Yep.
All right. So we're going to move on to the Wombat.
What did I play this week? I finished up God of War Chains of Olympus.
Playtime?
5 hours and 10 minutes.
Wow.
Jeez.
Which, you know, it's
a
very
portable game.
It's very short, but it's a portable game. I mean, it's $40, which is way too expensive.
Well, Heavenly Sword was $60.
True.
And it was the same length.
True.
About.
But I was very, very glad that I gamefly'd it, because if I'd have paid $40 for it and then played it for 5 hours, I'd have been very disappointed. So I gamefly'd. Gamefly that, beat it. It's very, very good.
I can imagine it's very good. I'm waiting
again,
on that PS2 version.
Very, very short. But if you're a fan of God of War, it's awesome. It has every bit as much action, has every bit as much storytelling as any of the other God of War's on PS2.
That's why I really wish they would do that PS2 version when the PSP one. But then I guess it wouldn't sell as much.
Right.
But the PS2 version at $20 for 5 hours, and
right,
you get the two analog sticks. Oh, so I can't wait to play that.
The the storyline is actually really good, and it's because it's a prequel. It does set some stuff up for later on, especially if you watch if you watch through the entire credits and watch. After that, there's another scene, and it sort of sets up the first game, the first God of War on PS2.
So does it explain, like, the thing at the beginning of God of War, where he's jumping off the cliff?
Not really, but it sets it up.
Sets it up.
I don't want to spoil it for anybody.
Yeah.
But it sets up that scene on the cliff.
Now, the one thing that I worried about when I heard about Chains of Olympus is that it's a prequel.
Right.
But they say they don't really explore the whole his family thing a lot.
They don't. They don't touch
on
it.
That's like
actually
really disappointing.
Well,
to me,
I shouldn't say that. They do touch on it a lot. There is one specific part of it is a huge part of the story. But they don't really go into what he did to his family, because they sort of go into that in the first God of War.
Yeah.
They don't really go into that, but his family actually plays a huge part in it. I won't specifically say what it is, but there is a nearly the entire probably the last hour of the game has to do with his family.
Well, that's cool.
The only thing though that's a little disappointing about it is there are very, very few boss fights in the game. There's two right away at the beginning that you played the demo.
Yeah. I played all the way through the demo.
Yeah, and then there's one obviously at the end. And then there's one kind of in the middle, and you fight the same guy twice. But other than that, that's really it. So in the boss fights, there's more. They sort of went the God of War 2 route and had a lot of Kratos fighting people his size boss battles in this.
Yeah.
There's really only one that I can think of actual boss battle against a bigger creature. So I was a huge fan of the battles in the first God of War, like especially the battle with the Minotaur.
Oh yeah,
which was really cool. So that was a little disappointing, but the battles are set up very well, and the actual flow of them is pretty well done. So I can't complain too much.
So we look forward to your review this week.
Yes, excellent. Yes, hopefully so. Yes, I played. What else did I play? I did actually, despite what Killer Wolverine said, played a little bit of Smash Brothers. Just a little bit.
Just a little.
Because I had like 20 minutes to kill, so I just played a couple matches real quick. And once again, had a blast with it, but it's not like it's not something I can sit down for hours on end and play by myself. I played on 360, I played Viking, obviously. Tried to get a little deeper into that, and I didn't play it a whole lot. I played it about an hour and a half. And I played, what else did I play? I played a lot of MLB The Show on PS3.
The Show?
And dug through my Road to the Show. Actually, completely restarted my Road to the Show. Decided I wanted to play, because my player on PSP is a third baseman, and that's what I had done on the PS3 when I first got it. And I decided against that, decided to go with a pitcher on the PS3. So I started my Road to the Show back over again.
You know what I like about that game?
What?
You go through people.
You what?
Your character sometimes goes through other characters.
Oh, like clips through?
I think that's funny.
Like clips through people?
Yeah.
I haven't noticed that yet, but
you
keep an eye out for it.
Oh, it happens all the time. It's horrible.
Maybe you got a bad copy.
Probably.
Your copy says, I know you don't like the PS3 that much, so I'm going to make it look worse.
Whatever.
So pretty much that's, I mean, I played the demo of Universe at War, which I liked the little bit that I played of it, but I didn't play enough of it to give any real kind of opinion. I played actually the trial version of the Rocky and Bullwinkle game.
Did you?
And you know what? It's not bad. It's like WarioWare.
I debated between that and Mr. Driller yesterday when I was buying my arcade games, and I went with Mr. Driller. So
it's basically just like WarioWare. Like it's like the 2 second, 3 second micro
quick
mini
games.
Games.
Yeah.
Only it does have camera support. So like if you have a vision camera, there's some of the mini games require you to like move your hands or point to a specific place on the screen.
Does it work as well as Totem Ball?
No, it works terribly. Yeah, it works about as well as Totem Ball. It's very, very difficult, and there's not a whole lot of instruction on those. All it does is show you a picture of Bullwinkle like making a little hand gesture.
Is he dancing to YMCA?
Well, like it'll show him pointing straight up and pointing to the right, pointing straight up and pointing to the right.
Also,
so when it comes on,
it's
you think
Saturday Night Fever.
Yeah, pretty much. You automatically assume that that's what you're supposed to do when it comes on. You're supposed to point up and then point to the right. No, that's not at all what you're supposed to do. You use your finger like a pointer and move it around the screen. So, like, some of the stuff is just explained terribly, but some of the mini games aren't too bad.
You don't have to use a camera.
You don't have to use
the
camera.
Okay, thank God.
No. And then, let's see, I played the trial version of something else, Battlezone, and it's the shortest trial version I've ever played in my entire life. I turned it on, shot 3 tanks, and it ended.
Yeah, I played that. I shot 3 tanks, and it's like, literally.
It's like, purchase Battlezone.
It was like 30 seconds
right.
of gameplay.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, so what don't they want us to see?
Right.
You know?
What is Battlezone?
Right.
Out loud.
I played. What else did I play? Ikaruga. Very, very quickly. Not very much, but it's a blast. You know, I'm not really a huge fan of shoot 'em ups, so I will admit that the game is awesome, but I won't play it. I won't buy it because it's not really. I don't really get into shoot 'em ups, really.
Yeah.
I think that pretty much wraps it up.
So what are you looking forward to this week?
I should have Dark Sector coming to me very soon.
so I'm going to play the crap out of that. I got Big Willie Unleashed from THQ finally, so I need to play that and review it. I also, for anybody that won the contest, I got your prizes with the exception of the two folks that got second prize. I still haven't heard back on what the replacement prizing is going to be. I've pressed her about it all last week. I'll press her about it this week, and hopefully we can get that ironed out and I can get it sent out to you this week. But this week I will definitely get the first and third prize winners stuff sent out. And then I'm also going to play, hopefully some, I keep meaning to buy every time I'm out and I keep forgetting the, Capcom Classics Reloaded.
Yeah.
Is it Reloaded? I can't remember which one it is. Whichever one it is, it's the one that has Street Fighter II. It has,
I think Reloaded is PSP title, right?
Right.
Yeah,
that's what I'm looking
for. Reloaded.
Well, there's two PSP ones, though. There's Reloaded, and then there's another one that has... The one has, like, Strider and stuff on it, which I want to buy that, too. But the one has Street Fighter II, and it has Lord of the Dragons and Knights of the Round, which were two of my favorite Super Nintendo games.
Oh, yeah.
So I keep meaning to buy those every time I'm out, and I keep forgetting. So I hope to buy those this week. And other than that, once again... Just pedaling in circles till GTA gets here.
Yeah.
And Mario Kart, so.
Awesome.
That's it for me.
So I guess I'll try to run through mine as efficiently as possible. I'll start off with the stuff I just dabbled in. I dabbled in some more Dark Sector this week. Didn't play a whole lot. Dabbled in some Viking. Once again, not very much. I wanted to, but I didn't play it very much. Other little things I dabbled in. Ikaruga, I played through the first two levels. I beat the first boss, got my achievement, but I didn't beat the second boss. I forgot in Ikaruga that if you don't beat them, they go away. Like, you have to beat them in a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you don't get to fight them.
Yeah.
Which kind of sucks, but it's kind of cool how it's that, like, pressure on you to beat the boss.
It's a very strategic game, not just in dodging, but as in...
switching colors.
Yeah.
Switching colors is huge in that game.
Yeah, it messes with your mind, man.
It does. It gets real frantic, especially, I mean, in the second level, it gets crazy.
Yeah.
So, but I played a little bit of that. I played some Mr. Driller, which I picked that up, and man, I forgot how fun that game was, and how stupidly Japanese it is.
Yeah.
Like, ridiculously Japanese.
Oh, yeah. It's a good game.
The music and it's like I turn it on and it's just giant bright colors and breaking the chains down as you drill down further and having to get the air capsules and stuff. It's really addictive once you get into it. And it's hard.
Yeah.
It's extremely hard.
Yeah.
Like you start off and you're like, oh, I'll just drill straight down to the first level. I'm like, woo, I'm done. You know, and you're like, oh, this game is going to be easy. Then you get to the levels where you got to go like 4 and 5 down. Man. You don't want to get crushed. You don't want to get your air bubbles and all that stuff. Also, this week, I dipped in some PS3 stuff because I bought a DualShock.
Yeah.
I wanted to test out the DualShock functionality. Yes, I had to shell out the $50 for the thing.
And $55, right?
I got it for $50.
Yeah,
I got it for $50.
Walmart's got it for $50.
I said that last week, motherfucker.
I don't listen to you.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, Walmart's got it for $49.
Half the time, I don't even know you're talking.
$49.88 was how much I paid for it.
You know something, Zero? We both got our DualShock controllers, and I think it's good that we got them early because we would have been scrounging around for extra money when Metal Gear hits. Be like, oh, we got to play Metal Gear
with a DualShock.
Yeah, so it's good that both of us have the controller early.
Am I not fucking here? Shit!
He's had the controller for like a week and a half.
He had it before all of us.
Well, okay, all three of us.
Thank
yes.
you.
I plan on.
Damn.
I need to get one here soon.
You don't show up all the time.
This is what, two, three weeks?
3 in a row.
I'll
acknowledge your existence once you get to about 10 episodes in a row.
Right.
Ooh, snap. Anyway.
I will acknowledge your existence when the boogeyman inserts you into the theme song.
Oh, there you go.
Which he did say that on the podcast or the forums.
Yeah,
he
said he might throw you into the song. But anyway, can I get back to my fondling?
No.
By all means, please.
Oh, wait. Thank you. Before I forget, I want to mention, too, that I very briefly, because I had time to kill, played Chessmaster Live.
Oh, yeah.
The trial version. And I don't know why anybody would buy the full version of that game.
I do.
Because you can play, if you play the trial version, you can play a whole game of chess.
You know why?
Against like five different opponents.
You know why?
Why?
Achievements.
I don't care about achievements.
Online?
For free, I can play a game of chess against five different skill leveled opponents.
Well, there you go. You don't need to buy it.
Right.
I'll never get the achievements because I suck at chess.
It even said, you have unlocked it because I only lost one of my pieces, and all of the person I was playing against pieces were gone except their king. And it said, you unlocked an achievement. Purchase the full game now to get this or whatever. And I'm like, man, that's like a trap just for zero tolerance.
It
I'm
is.
Like, they put that in there as a trap just for you.
Yeah.
It really is.
Anyways, go ahead. Sorry.
All right, but I played my PS3. I popped in MotorStorm, and I hadn't put the game in since I got it back. And I had to download the update, which the update includes the time trial mode, the rumble support, and all that. And it was, like, huge. It took forever to download, just like the Eye of Judgment. And I started, you know, I was sitting there waiting on it to download, and I said to myself and I said to my wife, I said, this has got to suck for people that, like, are just buying these games.
Oh, yeah.
And they got to go on and download these huge updates because they don't have the older ones. And it's just so large of an update. And it like,
yeah.
took a half hour to download this update. But once I got the update and I started playing with Rumble, MotorStorm is a whole nother game. Whole nother game. I also played Folklore this week, which I'll talk a little bit about. I didn't play a whole lot. I'm like three chapters in, I think.
Yeah.
But I'm playing through as Ellen. I have to say one thing to Peterson. How the fuck do you mix up Scotland and Ireland in the game? The game starts off literally with a cutscene of her coming across on the boat. and she's like, we got to get to my mother. You know, and she's with the fuck, Irish accent. She looks down. She has a letter that says Dublin on it. I'm like, how are we mixing up Ireland and Scotland? I got to know this. It's killing me.
That's funny.
So there's your question to him if he listens to this?
Yeah, like, yeah. Seriously, how did you mix that up? It says Dublin right on the envelope she has.
That was actually on the forums I was reading.
Yeah, because he said Scotland.
Yeah.
It's so totally not Scotland. It's the village in Dublin, Ireland. Just a thought. But no, I really like the game. And the first night I played it, like I said, I played it with just six axes, so I was just doing the... But once I got the DualShock, and like when you grab the soul and you're pulling back to yank them out, it fights against you with the force feedback, and it's just...
Yeah.
I love that game. The only thing... I don't really care for the cutscenes, the comic book style cutscenes.
Yeah.
Because like it has the fast forward button, and sometimes if you hit that, it skips dialogue things.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the dialogue moves too slow for me. I'm constantly reading through it real fast.
It does move too slow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my only complaint about those. The cutscenes are the CGI cutscenes are really good.
Yeah.
I really like those, and I love the story so far. It's so like creepy and I don't know, like the murder mysteries. You got to solve the murder mysteries by talking to the dead. I mean, that's just it's really cool, and the way you get the folks, and I have like five folks now, and you assign each one of them to a different button, and you can switch them on the fly by just tapping the L2 bumper, or the L2
yeah.
button, and then just switching which one you want on each control. And it's really fun. I mean, it is, like I still stand by my Devil May Cry meets Pokemon, which is a weird combination, but it works.
I agree with that.
I mean, and the combat is so smooth. And it works so well. The lock-on is good. I mean, the camera's good. I mean, everything about that game is good. It's just fun, and it's a really interesting story.
Yeah, so, it is.
I'm looking forward to get deeper into it. I just need to find more time to play it. The other game that I picked up this week that I spent a lot of time playing was Universe at War.
And how is it?
Well, I played the demo, and it's just a tutorial, and the tutorial is very
right.
hold your hand.
Right,
take
walk
you, through,
you
this.
Through it.
And I was like, eh. So, then I bought the game, I started playing the campaign mode, and it reminds me a lot of StarCraft with the three different races. You have the evil aliens, you have the good aliens, and then you have the humans. And the campaign mode starts off as the humans, and it kind of walks you through that. What works in Universe at War that makes it better on an RTS side on a console
uh-huh.
is that you can, like, the four triggers all do something different. Like, the right bumper does group selection. So say you have troops here, builders here, heroes here. You can tap that right bumper and select them individually. Tap
right.
it twice, it takes you to them.
Right.
So, I mean, it's real user-friendly. If you want to skim across the map real fast, you just pull down the right trigger, and that does the radar map, where you can move around the entire map, and then when you let go, you're there.
The other nice thing about that is you hold the right trigger and move the right stick instead of the left stick. You can move your troops to anywhere on the radar map without moving the camera.
Where you are.
Right. So yeah. you can just hold in. If you need to go to the top of the map, and you're centered on your troops at the bottom, and you just want to send a group to the top of the map, you don't have to select them, move all the way to the top of the map, and push. You just hold right trigger, move the right stick up to the top where you want them to go, and hit A, and they'll go there.
Yep.
Sweet.
Yeah, and the other nice thing is that researching is so easy because that's the left trigger. You pull the left trigger, it brings up the abilities and research menu, select what you want, hit A, and you're done. You don't have to do anything else.
Yep.
So it's real fast. I mean, real fast. The only downside to this game is that it has horrible amounts of slowdown.
Oh, I
bet.
There's
big wars going on. Like, I think the fourth mission of the campaign, you have to fight these two giant walkers. And I'm talking they're huge walkers.
Kind of like the scarabs from Halo?
Yeah. I mean, just huge things. And you have to fight those, and it just literally is like crawling as you're going. So.
The other kind of thing that I didn't like about it is that even on an HD TV, the text is really, really small.
The text is very small.
It's very hard to read. If you're a normal distance from the TV, it's going to be a little tough to read.
Yeah.
Unless you have very good vision, because the text is very small.
I will say this. If you don't have an HD TV, do not buy this game.
Right.
Do not buy this game, because you won't be able to see anything.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be terrible. If you do not have an HD TV...
It's like Dead Rising without an HDTV.
Exactly.
You can't read anything.
You can't read anything, and the action on the screen will just make your mind melt on an SD TV.
Jeez.
Have you played it with any PC people online yet?
No. There's, literally nobody online playing.
Really?
I don't think anybody bought it.
No, nobody really bought this game, which is sad because, you know, in all honesty, to me, this is the best RTS on a console yet. I mean, Command & Conquer was good. Lord of the Rings was good. This takes all those ideas and makes it better. I haven't really got
the exception of the slowdown.
Yeah. I haven't really got it into it enough to realize if the three races are really balanced playing in a skirmish mode. I don't know, because that takes a while to get
right.
All that stuff set up. So, and to figure out the nuances and how you research and which race has what advantages against what other race, so...
Yeah, I'm trying to decide whether I want to get that next from Gamefly or Dark Sector. So, if I get that next, I'll let you know what my opinion is on
that.
Wait,
do you only get
the
one game a month then?
Yeah.
Get the two.
I won't play two
Nobody
games.
Has that much time, Slick.
What?
I have a job.
Oh, God.
If you do get it, when you do get it, let me know. We'll play online. All
right, that sounds good.
I definitely want to try the battle mode and stuff. So I think that'd be fun. The last thing that I played this week, I also got in my normal Rock Band Guitar Hero.
Right, right.
I always throw that in there. But the last thing that I played this week is I actually sat down yesterday morning and played through the Iron Man demo.
And what did you think about that?
Oh, okay. Here's the thing. I'm not a fan of Iron Man. I like I like Tony Stark, which is funny, but I don't really care for the Iron Man character. So the movie and the game to me is kind of like, oh, it could be good, which I've heard the movie is better than the original Spider-Man, according to people.
Really?
Really?
So, yeah.
That's the buzz, is that it's better than the original Spider-Man, which
no,
that's a pretty big hype machine.
All substance abuse issues aside, Robert Downey Jr. is a pretty good actor. So
yeah, but he kind of fits Tony Stark
because
he has substance abuse issues himself.
Yeah,
but,
I heard that he does an amazing performance as Tony Stark.
I want to hear about the demo.
The game itself lets you play the level that you've seen in all the trailers where you're out in the desert.
Right.
And you got to destroy the different weapon facilities and stuff. When you first start playing it, you're going to be all over the place because the camera is so fast. Like, it moves, like, at blazing speed. So you're going to get disoriented fast. And the nice thing is there's... because Iron Man can fly or hover, you have two buttons. So the left trigger lets you hover. The more you pull it, the higher you go. You can hold it a little bit in, and he'll hover. Or you can tap the left bumper, and he'll fly. It's a very forgiving lock-on system. Very forgiving. You use the right stick to aim, but you really don't have to aim.
Right.
You really don't. It kind of locks onto whatever you need to shoot. You know, I have been a very big advocate of Sega lately. I think they can do no wrong with Viking and Universe at War and just all the other games that they've come out with recently. Iron Man, I really want to play more than this demo, but at the same time, I'm not totally sold on it yet.
Yeah.
I don't know. Once I got into it and started playing a little more, the level they give you is huge. And it is somewhat fun to fly around and play the game, but it's not... It wasn't like, oh my god, I have to play this.
Right.
Yeah.
So
it's only on the 360 to download right now?
Yeah. The PSN version will probably be out next week. But it's not terrible, but it's not like the first time you played Spider-Man good. You know? Spider-Man 2. It's not like that good. But I think it could be fun. If you know... I don't know.
Oh, okay.
It's... Yeah, try the demo, really, is the big key. I don't know that it's worth $60.
Does it have potential to be X3 bad?
No.
Playing
it's
that
definitely not
that atrocity
bad.
Of a game.
No, it's a lot better than that.
All right.
It's a lot better than that. But I think that's all I play. I download iCreate for my iToy, but I haven't, or my PSI, but I haven't played around with it yet. But I think that wraps up mine. This week, more Folklore, really. That's what I'm looking forward to playing.
Oh, yeah.
So, and then toying around some more with my DualShock.
That's pretty sweet.
I like my last generation technology. I do. That pretty much wraps up all the fondlings. Now we get to move into news. Yeah, let it out.
And now, News for Gamers Internet Star Radio Program proudly presents News Quickies. Brought to you by Johnson Power and Electric. Who'd like to remind you that we are now burning 13% cleaner, so those hippies will leave us the fuck alone. And now your host, Zero Tolerance.
With his bendy pen.
I got a rubber pen.
Wow, yeah. Are you seriously doing the rubber pen
I was
trick?
Doing the rubber pen bit, yeah. All right, we got some pretty cool news this week.
Yeah, I see that. We got pretty
good.
Yeah,
some awesome news this week.
We got some pretty cool news this week. We're going to start off with Activision's newly announced Spider-Man, Web of Shadows.
I was just going to say that. As soon as we're done that news story for your website, I saw that online. I was like, oh, yeah.
Spider-Man Web of Shadows is the newest free-roaming Activision Spider-Man game. We don't know a whole lot about it yet. Activision just basically gave the title. But what's cool about this is you're actually going to be able to be a bad Spider-Man. You will actually be able to just run around and, you know, kill innocent people.
As grand bad theft. Spider-Man? Not, like, black-suited Spider-Man?
I'm just... Bad Spider...
I never heard of a bad Spider-Man.
You can be a bad Spider-Man.
You can be the hero or you can be an anti-hero is the word of it.
Yes.
It doesn't actually say... Like, at least the thing I read didn't actually say you could be a villain. It just said you could be the anti-hero.
Yeah, you can be the anti-hero. It gives you the choice.
Right.
Oh, here we go with the...
Oh, look at that look on your face.
Shut up.
What?
Seriously, get over it. After the news that comes later, does that, you know... Would you cry about that, too?
What?
Never mind.
I'm really looking forward to seeing what they can do with... an open-world Spider-Man game that's not tied down by a movie license.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, they did really Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yeah, because Ultimate
awesome.
Spider-Man
that was really good.
Yeah.
You got to stop wishing, because you know what? This is what? The 6 millionth Spider-Man game? They can't all follow comic book continuity. We need a little...
But everyone knows Spider-Man as a good guy, except for when he had the black suit. You don't go... Spider-Man never goes around killing people. It's
not
Spider-Man.
It'd be awesome if they made a Superman game where you could kill people.
Hell yeah. I'd be all over that. Because
you're freaking Superman. That'd be awesome.
Be freaking awesome, man.
Yeah, heat vision.
Yeah, no.
He's mad because his hero is going to be an anti-hero.
That just... whatever. It doesn't say
yeah.
Doesn't. No, it, you're right. It doesn't fit the Spider-Man continuity. It's got to be a different... But... If you're giving the player control of Spider-Man, then they can play Spider-Man however they want to play Spider-Man.
Well, let me ask you a question. Do you like Marvel vs. Capcom 2? In which comic book did he fight, you know, Tron Bond?
Oh,
oh
God.
Snap! I just went there.
And Jesus, it's total... Oh, fuck you. That's a different game.
Well, this is a different game, too.
But this is based on the comic character, not when he's fighting. That, whatever.
This, whatever, fine, whatever. I won't pass judgment yet, fine, we'll just...
You know what, you can not play it, and we'll enjoy the hell out of it.
Well, that's good. You know, just like Terrence, you know, enjoyed Spider-Man Friend or Foe.
Ugh.
I enjoyed Spider-Man Friend
or Foe. Oh, you did? Ugh. Oh, yay.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was a fun game. I'm so sick of everybody being like, oh, I don't want to play this game because it's stupid compared to the continuity of the comic book. I don't give a shit. Next up, since Spider-Man is going off the deep end, Ace Combat 6 sells 10 million units worldwide.
Why?
Wow. Why? Because it's like the premier...
combat game.
Yeah.
Only 1 million in America.
Right.
So
it's overseas.
Yeah.
9 million in Japan.
Wow.
That's sick.
In Europe.
In
but
Europe.
I'm sure
yeah.
Europe didn't
right,
make
right,
up
right.
a huge chunk, but still.
Right.
Japanese people love Ace Combat 6.
Apparently.
So somehow this game sold more than there are Xbox 360s. That's how much they love this game.
That's impressive.
So.
Interesting.
Next up, Def Leppard Rocks Guitar Hero 3. Did anybody see this?
Yeah.
That's going to be the new DLC pack, Def Leppard.
Nice.
So,
will our drummer only have one arm in-game?
This is Guitar Hero.
Yeah, but you can still see the drummer in the
yeah,
background.
Yeah, but they've had the same, you know,
the same drummer
characters.
Yeah, but they can just plaster the drummer character in there with one arm. Just take away the polygons and make up his forearm and...
Wow.
He'd just be drumming around.
Wow.
All right, moving on.
Like somebody else wasn't going to make the one-arm drummer joke. Come
on. You can't
talk about
Def Leppard without making
seriously,
that joke.
Seriously, you know, if anybody out there, if you say Def Leppard, the first thing anybody thinks of is
one-arm
drummer. You don't think of Pour Some Sugar on Me. You think of one-arm drummer. I'm sorry if that offends people who didn't know that Def Leppard had a one-arm drummer.
Or people with one arm.
Right. Well, I apologize if that offends you if you have one arm. It's
not
meant to
be. That just shows you dedication
and
perseverance.
I'm actually completely and utterly – I don't think I mentioned this on the podcast before, but I know I've mentioned it before. I'm completely and utterly amazed by the drummer of Def Leppard, so it's no disrespect meant.
Who wouldn't be? That's impressive.
He plays better with one arm than most people do with two. Or could do with three.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Maybe four.
All right, moving on.
Hey, next, Goro was a hell of a drummer.
Yes, he was. The next big Xbox Live Arcade game to be announced, Soul Calibur.
Yeah.
Coming to Xbox Live Arcade with no online play.
Oh.
No online.
Yeah, but still, it's Soul Calibur
it's
in
Soul
HD.
Soul Calibur. Well, we'll see.
They said it was in HD.
If it's in HD, okay.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Yeah. It is. They said it was going to be in HD.
But no online.
Yeah.
It better not be more than 800 points. I bet the download is going to be huge, though.
Yeah.
Probably they say it's based on
the Dreamcast
code.
You'll be able to play as Maxi in HD.
Alrighty.
Yeah.
Next up,
Lizard Man.
Namco Bandai has announced the next chapter of Naruto. Ultimate Ninja Storm. And if you have seen these screenshots, by God!
Oh my God.
It looks like the freaking cartoon.
Oh my God!
It does. I know absolutely positively nothing about Naruto other than you showed me an awesome screenshot of a guy with whiskers on his face.
Yes. It looks really good, though.
Yeah, it does.
That'll be one of those games you can put in the PS3 and you can just show people how good that thing looks. It's just beautiful.
Be like... Here's a disc. I like to call it Beauty.
All right. Next up, more from Namco's Big Gamers Day this week. We have Soul Calibur 4 dated for July 29th. Limited edition coming with a 10 case and exclusive downloadable content.
I bet the downloadable content will be Yoda on the PS3 and Darth Vader on the 360.
Possible. Which you know those will be available later for the purchase.
Yeah.
Upon the live marketplace and PlayStation stores.
That'd be pretty sweet.
How much are you willing to pay for Yoda? Or, I'm sorry, Darth Vader.
I'm actually...
Maybe
five bucks?
$5, maybe. Because I'm a glutton. Maybe 10.
Whoa. $1.
Ooh, I couldn't pay 10 per character.
$1. I pay 199 points.
Good luck with $1.
Yeah, I know.
That
wishful thinking.
$5 would be the sweet spot.
Shall we get something you want to say?
Yeah, I was going to say I'm actually really, really excited for Soul Calibur.
I'm very excited for Soul Calibur 4.
It's going to be freaking amazing.
Indeed.
I'm going to PO noobs online
with
Yoda.
Pionin noobs.
Pionin noobs.
Jump around like a crazy bitch.
I will be.
Pioned you off, yes.
All right.
Wow. Pioned you will be by me, yes.
Anyway, out of the Sony camp, we have the confirmation that PlayStation Network cards are coming.
Sweet.
They should be on their way to retail as we speak.
Thank God.
They come in two increments, 20 and 50.
50?
Same as Xbox Live.
Oh, okay. Okay.
20 and 50.
I always buy the 20s.
Also coming soon, in-game X and B.
Really? Hopefully. I believe we've heard that before.
Yes. This was posted on the official Sony blog.
Well, that's good.
He said, coming soon.
I'm going to be downloading some PSN games in the future.
Mr. Wolverine's favorite game to talk about, Hayes.
Yeah.
Has been confirmed for a U.S. release in early May with a four-player co-op demo coming soon.
Birthday game.
Co-op demo.
Co-op demo coming soon.
I'm looking forward to
it. It has to come soon. May is in like a week.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to Hayes, too.
I heard a week before.
The demo game launches?
Hayes, Hayes is going to get buried.
Yeah,
it will.
I'm so looking forward to it because I think it'll be good, and I love Free Radical. But it's between Grand Theft Auto
and Metal Gear.
And it's a PS3 exclusive shooter.
Yeah.
It's gonna get buried.
Metal Gear.
And you can't see me rocking back and forth like I'm crazy, but you
need to be in the nut house.
It's gonna get buried.
Wow. Speaking of PlayStation Network, the new store is live, and I have to say,
it's nice.
Copying Marketplace was brilliant.
Yep. Yes.
This is exactly what it is.
Yeah,
it works
it's
so
awesome,
much better. With the exception of the slow loading icons or whatever, it works so much better.
You know what my favorite thing is, and this is the stupidest thing? When you press circle now, you go back.
Yes.
Instead of exiting the store.
Yes.
That drove me insane.
Yeah.
But being able to sort everything, like Marketplace, by what category it is so much nicer.
It's a beautiful thing. I really enjoy the new store as well.
Yeah. The new store is freaking awesome, and it shows you that if you copy something right, it's beautiful.
Yep. And as soon as the Sony points cards come out, I'm going to be at that store more often.
They need to add a place where you can redeem those cards in the store, because right now you have to go to account management like you did for the Metal Gear beta.
I'm sure that's going to be some kind of downloadable thing.
Yeah,
soon.
Give me a shortcut to that card area.
Yeah.
Through the store.
I would like to see though,
or just when it comes up and asks you for, instead of you have to put the funds in your wallet and then go to your wallet
and
take
the
funds
out
of your wallet, why don't you just as an option of payment do PlayStation Network card and have it take the balance off
like
a gift card?
Yeah.
That would be a lot easier.
I was going to say, because since I bought my PS3 from Professor Chaos, that he had a Japanese account. And I was just looking at all the PS1 games they have compared to us. I'd like to get some of those over here, like Resident Evil.
Yeah, there's a lot. The Metal Gear Solid's.
Metal Gear Solid.
So,
yep. I'd like to see those soon.
All right, moving on.
Oh, you know what I do actually want to mention? Like, yesterday, or day before yesterday, was like the day of the frickin' update for me. When I tried to play anything, I got on. Well, maybe it wasn't the day before yesterday. What time has sort of lost itself this week? What was the day the store went live?
Tuesday.
Okay, so Wednesday was when I actually downloaded everything, and it was seriously like the day of the update. I got onto my PS3, had to download the store update. Got onto MLB, had to download the update for MLB. Both of which took forever. I had to download the Metal Gear online thing, and then when I got in it, I had to download something else for it,
which didn't work.
And then I get on my Xbox, and I had to download an update for that.
Yeah.
And then I tried to play some arcade game. I don't remember what it was. Carcassonne, because I had time to kill, and it had an update. So it was like updates all over the place.
Yeah, the dashboard update did nothing, apparently.
No.
There was no new features.
But it was fast.
Where's my spring update?
Yeah, it's coming.
Where? When?
I don't know.
Spring's almost over.
Spring's not almost over.
Shut up.
Another month and a half.
Started.
All right. Moving on. Motley Crue debuts a new single, Through Rock Band.
So that started.
Yes.
Nice.
And also albums start this week.
Really? With what?
Judas Priest.
Really?
Full album this week.
Yeah, I saw that.
No kidding.
Is it $14.99, I think, for the whole album? Which isn't too bad. I think it's like 10 songs.
So you can listen to Rob Halford scream through your TV speakers.
The Priest is coming to Rock Band. All right. COD format pack sets a sales record. $10 million in 10 days.
It's impressive. Wow. That's sick.
That's a lot
and
of money.
You wonder why companies do downloadable content.
You think?
There's your answer.
So, did anybody download the pack?
No, nobody here did.
No, I got to get the my system back and points before I can do that.
You know, all the four of us are actually quite an anomaly in gaming right now because none of the four of us play Call of Duty obsessively.
I know, and it's such a good game.
Right. It is. And it's you know, the game that most everybody is playing when they play stuff online, but none of us really play it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Need to change that. Which, oddly enough, I got an email from the PlayStation Underground saying it's coming soon for it. So, you know, look for it.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, moving on. The newest to be added to Xbox Originals, Metal Arms... A glitch in this... Don't roll your eyes at Metal Arms. I will punch
Metal
you in the
Arms
face.
Metal Arms is awesome.
Metal Arms is one of the most underrated great games of all time.
Yeah.
Great freaking game. And that's coming to... And also Splinter Cell Chaos Theory. Both coming to Xbox Originals for $15. I had to chuckle at myself when I titled my next news story, Wii Fit Weighs In at $89.99.
Wow.
Thank you. Thank you.
$89.99
with, I might add, some of the worst box art ever imaginable.
Is it a fat guy on the front of it?
No, it's four people like doing different exercises on the Wii Fit board.
Oh.
Absolutely terrible box art.
Well, at least it's descriptive.
$90.
It's not like Super Busta Move where it's got a baby on the front of it blowing a bubble.
That's true. That's
one of
quite
the worst
true.
Box art
it's
ever.
Not like, what is it, Phalanx for the Super Nintendo?
With the old guy playing the banjo?
The old guy playing the banjo?
Yes.
Which had nothing to do with the game.
Right.
Except for the spaceship in the background.
Flying by in the background.
Yes.
Yeah.
But yes, the box art is utterly terrible, but $90 in America. So.
And why is that?
Because it comes with a balance board.
Oh, you're saying they had to reweigh it or make it heavier.
The board had to, because I think in Japan it only supported, what, like 190 pounds or something like that?
Oh,
yeah, there ain't nobody in America
over,
that weighs 190
over 200.
Pounds.
He's calling Americans fat, is what he's saying.
Yeah, no, I know he is.
Okay.
Congratulations on being able to pick up the joke.
You've got two skinny Americans sitting right here across from you.
You are not the norm.
No.
You are anomalies.
That's true.
Well, give me time. It's in my blood to be fat.
There you go. Give him a couple years.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, Nintendo announces Super Mario Sluggers. I also like what I did at the end of this one. I put dot, dot, dot. Whore confirmed. Mario's a whore.
That he is. I agree.
Soccer already.
Hey, he's active. He's trying to lose some of that weight because he's Italian too.
I mean, he's in Wii Fit somewhere.
Probably.
Yeah.
I keep waiting, you know, for you to show up one day
looking like Mario
with your hair slicked straight back and like a long trench coat on, perhaps
kind of like Equilibrium
and you. Yeah. Telling us all to forget about it.
What are you going to do? All right, there you go. All right. Last two bits of news come from Midway Gamers Day. The first is Unreal Tournament 3 Xbox 360. Mm-hmm. Due out this summer. Mm-hmm. Comes with everything that's been released for the PS3 version so far. Will support mods. Ooh. And gets 5 exclusive maps to the 360 version.
But... there is a caveat on the mods, because the mods will not be like open mods like the PS3.
Yes.
It's Epic will take the mods that they think are the best and release them on the Xbox 360.
That's fine. It's getting 5 exclusive maps. I can live with that.
But at the same time, with Epic's reputation, all of this content, as it is on the PS3, will be free. Everything mods and all that stuff will be free. So.
Wow. So it's worth getting for the 360.
If you want the 5 extra maps,
if you want more gothic architecture. If you've already got it on the PS3, I mean, and most of the people you play with are on the PS3. Then
there's no reason.
Yeah,
but if you have a bunch of people that pick it up on the 360, then you should probably buy it.
Right.
So it's good for the guys that don't have PS3s that have 360s that they're actually getting something extra.
Exactly.
So are you guys going to keep your copies?
I game-flied it. I probably won't. I'll probably get it for the 360.
So,
I'll probably keep mine on the PS3.
So I'm at a dilemma, which one to get.
Either one you get, there's bots.
It's true.
Yeah.
So.
Robots.
All right. And the last piece of news.
Uh-oh.
Blew up the internet.
Yes, it did.
Hey, internet.
Like the 4th of July.
Because apparently Mortal Kombat has not been relevant for 10 years. According to every single thread that I read over this the last couple days, as Midway and Ed Boon have announced Mortal Kombat versus the DC Universe.
Sweet.
And the first thing that comes up, is this a late April Fool's joke?
Yeah.
Was like the comment, or the comment was, how do these two universes mesh? Mortal Kombat isn't relevant anymore because it's terrible. It's been terrible for years. You know, this is all I read all week. Nobody's excited about this.
I'm excited.
I'm pumped. Because you take my favorite fighting game franchise, you mix it with my favorite comic book franchise, and I have beauty. I have just a fanboy dream.
I'm on the fence still.
Of course. They took out they took out fatalities and blood and gore.
Yeah, if that stuff is gone, I'm
and you're
I'm
not
out.
A DC fan.
No, I'm not.
Oh, see, that the blood and gore made, you know, Mortal Kombat what it is. So without it, it's not Mortal Kombat.
I'm intrigued by the concept of Mortal Kombat versus the DC universe because the characters and the mythology in Mortal Kombat is so strong, and the DC universe has some good characters and mythology as well. Not quite as good as Marvel.
We're not going to get into this conversation,
but dude, I do think that there is an opportunity for the universes to mesh well. I
is
really
this
do.
E.T.?
But my problem comes in the blood and gore and fatality side of it because, you know, if there's no fatalities, no blood and gore, it's not Mortal Kombat. Yeah. Even if you got the Mortal Kombat characters in it, it's not Mortal Kombat.
Yep.
So,
but they had to,
the soul of the series has always been the over-the-top blood and gore and fatality.
I think they had to make that a choice between, you know, when you have to when you team up with someone like DC, which doesn't have a lot of killing in it, a lot of blood.
No,
that's not true.
That's
at
not
all.
True.
Well,
that's not true, man.
I mean, in the terms of Mortal Kombat, you don't. How often do you see someone's heart getting ripped out or their head off? And you don't see that often.
The villains kill a lot.
Maybe
DC, but you don't really see like Batman, and Superman. Don't
yeah.
kill people.
So
Superman
they had
has
to.
Never killed anybody.
They had to
life.
Make a medium. If you're going to go with someone with like you know. Superheroes like little kids like Superman
you know what little kids shouldn't be playing Mortal Kombat.
Well, you know what I mean, but yeah, still, no it's they would have had to make a sacrifice, and they I don't know
and you know DC is not going to let Superman's murdering virginity go to waste on a Mortal Kombat character.
Yes.
So
it doesn't surprise me that they removed the blood and the fatalities. It doesn't at all. I'm still looking forward to it just because it is what it is. I don't care about the blood. I would like to see blood and fatalities in it, but at the same time, you know, what's funny is people are – that's the exact comment. Mortal Kombat's not Mortal Kombat without blood and fatalities. But these are the same people that are going, that's all Mortal Kombat's ever been. It's such a gimmick. I don't even care about it if they concentrate on the fighting. You know, these are the same people that said that last time Mortal Kombat came out. Oh, it's just fatalities. It's just a game about fatalities. Now that they remove them, they're like, oh, it's not Mortal Kombat without fatalities.
Right.
Yeah. You don't like it either way.
No winning with them. But
no,
see,
there's
I'm really intrigued on this and how the stories are going to interconnect.
Yeah, I'm very. I love the Mortal Kombat universe, so I'm very, very intrigued on how the storyline's going to play out.
And like you, Womble, I'm not a DC fan, but I'm curious. I'm here to see it.
Like I said, I'm on the fence. I'm reserving judgment until I see gameplay.
You know,
when I see gameplay footage, I will make my decision on whether I'm excited about it or not.
You know what's interesting is that out of the four of us, we got two hardcore Marvel fans and we got two hardcore DC fans.
Oh, it is on.
So we could literally have freaking Marvel versus DC right here on this podcast.
We could, but we won't go into that because Superman would kill all the Marvel characters. But anyway, we're moving on.
Yeah, it's because the Marvel characters all have an actual human element to them and the DC characters do not. But
yeah, because they're all freaky mutants with the same backstory. Anyway. But you know what? I'm going to make Spider-Man an anti-hero, and I'm going to send you videos of it just to piss you off because you take it too seriously.
And they do not all have the same backstory.
No, they don't.
Not even close.
What are you going
to... No, 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 don't even say it. Don't even fucking say it.
Yeah.
Yeah, at least Marvel doesn't have a character whose main weakness is the color fucking yellow.
And
oh, I guarantee you there's dumber shit than that in it. Well, that's what's funny right there is you get a Marvel and a DC argument, and they start picking apart each other. I'm like, you know what? The dumb shit that happens in DC is the same dumb shit that happens in Marvel. So I don't even want to hear it.
The thing is, every single Marvel villain was created by something that would kill a person, but the person somehow survived and became a supervillain.
Comics are just ridiculous everywhere.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, well, DC doesn't have Deadpool, so that's all
no,
that counts.
No, in fact, they don't
and
have
Deadpool.
You know
what? Marvel doesn't have Batman.
That's true.
The most recognizable superhero of all time. Thank you.
That and Superman.
With his fake rubber nipples.
We're not talking about George Clooney, okay? Leave George Clooney out of this. We deny that, okay? Don't make me bring up the Fantastic Four movie that existed before.
Hey, Val Kilmer played one of your characters.
You don't even want to go there. Don't start with the movies. Don't start with the movies.
All right, we'll move on.
Captain America.
Oh, that was Beatty?
Oh, yeah, that was terrible.
Dolph Lundgren
is
the Punisher.
You lose.
Hey, you know what? I own that movie on DVD.
You're part of the problem.
Yeah.
All right, now we're gonna pick up the news stories, the hot news stories from N4G. We're just going to breeze through these pretty quick. The first one, somebody asked if we'd list the submitter. Pat-like submitted this story, which reached 1,140 degrees, that GTA 4 for the 360 has an optional hard drive install.
I don't know that that's been confirmed yet, though.
Well, according to 1UP, is who they're saying claimed it.
Well, if 1UP says it, then I lend it a little more credence. But if it's still people quoting that first review, quote-unquote, I don't believe it.
You know what? If it's in there, excellent.
Right. No, I'll be happy as hell.
I love installs. On the PS3, do they fix loading time? Pop-up issues? Hell yeah. The only reason 360 games don't have installs mandatory is because the hard drive's not mandatory.
Right.
Yeah.
It's the only reason they don't have mandatory installs.
I love reasonable installs.
Devil May Cry?
Yeah. That was not so reasonable. But if it's, you know, if it's a 5-minute install, I'm all for it.
I wonder how much memory the install is going to take.
I
hope it's no more than a gig.
You know, I don't want to pluck my site or anything, but I got two incoming news stories that... Look at that.
Wow.
I scroll down a little bit.
You
do
realize they're not listening to this live, so they'll probably already be approved by the time you... this air.
Say
something.
I should not have hovered over that.
I hate that friggin'
ad. I hate that thing, too. I'm
about to send Dusty a message and tell him to get rid of that ad. Be like, hey, can you do us a solid and do away with the say something?
But if they do make a mandatory install for 360 or optional install for GTA on the 360, I will install it. Which I read a really good article in Game Informer recently about all the installs on the PS3, and they were like calculating up how much each one of them took.
Yeah.
Man, there's a lot of space being taken up. That 80 gig will fly up fast.
Yeah, but I mean, most people... If you play through a game, you're not gonna leave, you know, 15 games installed on your hard drive.
No, but then again, you have to look at the fact that what happens if you still like a person like me that has, you know, a ton of games and say I want to go back and play Devil May Cry 6 months down the road.
Well, I mean, I can understand leaving Devil May Cry on your install system because it takes you 20 minutes. But if you're really all that concerned about space and it's a game that only has a 5-minute install, it's not gonna kill you to. Wait the 5 minutes again before you start playing.
It'll just annoy you when you have to boot it up. All right. Next up, since this is GTA 4 week, we have more GTA 4 cannon fodder in the form of 1UP's recent preview also stated that the game has pop-up issues and frame rate problems in the final version.
Hmm.
No big shock there. If it's got the letters GTA in it, it's always had frame rate issues and pop-up issues. So
this was submitted by Spartan.
So I don't care. I mean,
I kind of expect it at this point.
And that's not, I mean, that comes across like we're kind of letting Grand Theft Auto off the hook.
Yeah.
Or letting Rockstar off the hook for...
Say something!
I hate that thing!
It sort of comes off like we're letting them off the hook for, you know, releasing a game with frame rate issues and pop-up issues. But you know what? Every Grand Theft Auto has that. And it's something that I've just kind of come to expect at this point, so...
Yeah.
It sucks, but I didn't expect any different.
The next story that was submitted is by Viper, and what's funny about this story is that Kojima is never happy with his games. He's a perfectionist, so this comment really got taken out of context a little bit, and it's more like Xbox 360 fuel for the fanboy fire. That him saying he was disappointed with Metal Gear Solid 4. Kojima's the kind of person that the game he wants to make is not going to be able to be made until 100 years after he's dead.
Right.
Yeah.
So you need to stop taking this the wrong way. He hated every game he made. Well, he didn't hate, but he was disappointed with every game he's ever made. And you can't sit here and tell me that Metal Gear Solid, you know, Snatcher, you know, Zone of the Enders, any of these were disappointing games.
Right.
Metal Gear Solid 4 is probably going to be the one of the single greatest experiences you've ever had on a console this year.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be incredible. So him saying he's disappointed with it is just his way of being a perfectionist. So I wouldn't worry too much about that comment. And stop fueling the fanboy wars. Stop holding on to every comment that somebody says. I'm going to skip over the smiley faces.
So you don't have to say something.
I don't have to say something. All right. I hadn't decided if we were going to do this or not, but I figured I'd pop them up. Make a couple comments, but the last little bit of news that we have is the NPD numbers.
Oh, those again.
Those again. You know what? I don't think I'm going to sit here and talk about them.
We'll just read them off.
The only comment that you have to make after this is that 360 and PS3 are great systems, both selling great amount of consoles, and they're doing really well on both ends. The other thing you take from this is that Nintendo pwns
everybody
in every category.
Yes.
Handheld and console. And thirdly, 360 software sales are sick. Absolutely sickening how many games 360 owners buy. But we'll run them down. For March, and this was a 5-week month, you had the PlayStation 2 at 216,000, which is a great number. PlayStation 3 at 257,000. You had the PlayStation Portable at 297,000, which is a great handheld number. The Xbox 360 at 262,000. The DS, 698,000, which is just insane. And the Wii is the number one selling console, again, at 721,000 units.
Which just, you know what, it's funny. It makes all the Xbox 360 and Sony fanboy wars seem so completely pointless because they're fighting for distant second place.
Distant
second place.
When the Wii sells 750,000 systems in 30 days. 30 days. That's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
It is.
Ridiculous.
All right. Top 10 selling games. The number one selling game, by God, 2.7 million copies of Super Smash Bros. Brawl went out in the month of March. 2.7 million.
That's awesome number.
That's impressive.
The closest game behind it, Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Vegas 2, sold 0.7 million copies. So Smash Bros. Outsold it by 2 million copies. So
four times as many copies,
yeah, basically. 750,000 units for Rainbow Six Vegas 2. 360's Army of Two comes in at number three at 606,000. Wii Play with remote.
Goddamn Wii Play.
409,000 more copies. Almost one for one, or actually one for two.
Right.
Right around one for two. One for every two systems it sold. A Wii Play sold. PSP's God of War Chains of Olympus at 340,000 with Crisis Core.
Yeah.
Right after it at 301,000, so two PSP games.
I'm glad to see PSP games in the top 10. That's very good news.
Yep. Guitar Hero 3 for the Wii at 264,000, still the best-selling version of the Guitar Hero. Major League Baseball 2K8 at 237,000 units for the 360. Call of Duty 4, still on the list at 237,000. And a PS3 version of Army of 2 comes in at the last spot at 224. So Army of 2 doing well for EA.
Very well.
Which is good because it's a new IP. So, but that's your NPD numbers. I have nothing else to say except for, damn, Nintendo.
Yeah, that's a lot of systems, man. Whew. That's sick. That is
I think
sick.
That by the end of this, everybody in the world's going to own a Wii. Everybody. This thing's going to sell, like, trillions of copies.
I think it's going to cause the apocalypse.
It's quite possible. Now we're going to get into the Cue the Crew thread. I kind of perused these a little bit earlier this week, and some of them are pretty good.
Good.
So we're going to start off with Theo, 1130. He wants to know, he has a few questions. What online multiplayer game do you wish had a stronger online community? He would love to see more people on with Team Fortress 2 on the 360. There are a lot of people playing, but more is always better. Although the plus side of having less people is that there's more mature online community, except for me, which leads me to my next question. What games did you guys become hardcore with in terms of online multiplayer, and what about the game kept you coming back? So we'll start with the first question. What game would we like to see more people online playing? Do you have one? Does anybody have one?
I'm trying to... I have a game that I would like to get back into, and I imagine the community is very small now.
What's that?
Battlefront.
I imagine there's nobody on Battlefront.
Which is sad, because that was one of my favorite online games.
I don't know. Maybe the Battlefield Modern Combat, last time we played, there weren't very many people on that.
No,
and that's a great big team game. I don't know. I don't really... Like, the stuff I play online now is like Call of Duty and Halo, and there's no shortage of people on there.
Right. And, too, when we play, we usually play with people that we know rather than, like, outsiders.
Yeah, which leads him into the next question, which is, what games did you guys become hardcore with online, and what kept you coming back? I'd say Halo 2, easy.
Yeah, Halo 2.
I mean, because we played that every night for a long time, and it was because we were all playing together.
That's how I got to know y'all.
Yeah?
Yep.
Halo 2. Who the fuck is Killer
Wolverine? Yeah, who the fuck is Killer Wolverine? Zero and I also played the shit out of Guilty Gear Online.
Guilty Gear Online and Capcom SNK.
Yeah, and Street Fighter.
Street Fighter.
And we also played the shit out of
Worms
3D and Mortal Kombat Deception.
Yeah, we played a lot of Mortal Kombat Deception.
Yeah, played a lot of fighting games online.
I think you and I had like the most battles online in Mortal Kombat Deception out of like anybody online, because we just played like every night we play. So
we played the shit out of that.
I think we played upwards of like 100 matches in Capcom SNK one night.
Yeah,
in one night. 99 of them.
Jeez. Yeah, I got my ass kicked in that.
But then
game.
We went around and played Street Fighter 2, and I think I won 0.
Yeah,
he just. Guilty Gear, we were even.
Yeah.
Deception, we were even.
Yeah.
But Capcom SNK, I just...
He just whips the shit out of me in Capcom SNK.
And it's Street Fighter, man.
It's not even fun. It's like... I just get the complete ass stomped out of me.
Then we play Street Fighter 2, and I can't even hit him. It's sickening.
As soon as it starts, your match is over?
Yeah, I'm pretty awesome at Street Fighter 2.
Yeah, Capcom,
I love me some Street Fighter 2.
I think in Capcom versus SNK 2 on the Xbox Live, I think I lost a total of 6 matches out of the 600 that I played.
I'm
really good at that game.
That's insane.
So,
wow.
That's the only fighting game I can claim fame to. Alright. Next up comes from Kalupu. He says, which game has the best plot twist in gaming? He says his is KOTOR and Folklore, which makes me excited about Folklore now.
Yeah.
Plot twist. I think BioShock was my favorite. Because it hit me so... Or KOTOR. KOTOR.
Yeah.
I didn't see that coming.
I love twist in Knights of the Old Republic.
I don't really remember a whole lot of twists in gaming, like, outside of BioShock and KOTOR. None of them really stuck with me.
I can say Uncharted had a little bit, but it's not like...
I think the death of Aeris in Final Fantasy VII was pretty shocking at the time that it happened.
What?
Shut up. It was. It really was. Like, I didn't expect that right at the end of the disc one. It was pretty shocking. I still think BioShock's...
Yeah. You know, I think it wasn't... I mean, I guess you... I don't know if you really want to call it a twist, but Metal Gear Solid, the first one, had some good little storyline wrinkles.
Yeah.
At least, especially with the ninja. There's some pretty good stuff in there.
Lale Lule Lo.
Shut up about Lale Lule.
You know what?
I'm talking about the first Metal Gear.
The first guy that finished Metal Gear Solid 4 said that Kojima was right and they answer every question.
Nice.
You will know the answer to every question you have about Metal Gear Solid at the end of 4.
And he also said all the videos that you've seen so far
showed nothing.
Showed nothing. You still don't know nothing about the game. And he says that there's a cutscene somewhere in the game.
Wait,
that's
hold on.
The best cutscene of any game ever.
Wait, hold on. There's a cutscene in Metal Gear?
Yeah. Who'd ever thought?
I don't believe it.
I mean, come on.
You're lying. All right.
But no, I think the best is Knights of the Old Republic.
Knights of the Old Republic was really good. Because you know what? I had no idea through the whole game. No clue, which is sad because I played it so long.
Right.
You figured you'd figured it out by then.
Yeah.
He also says, P.S., come on, guys. The sniper rifle is so good at UT3. All you have to do is shoot people on the hoverboard when they're lying on the ground with their scratched knee. Then you take your sweet time and aim for the headshot.
I never thought of that, but that brings up when we were playing online, I had 2 headshots in a row. Wow, that was... Yeah, so
nice.
Yeah.
Next comes from Burke7, who says, "Hey guys, special hey to the Wamba trip."
Burks.
What's up with
that? I played Warhawk with Burks several times.
He says, "Firstly, great show. Always a pleasure, never a pain."
Nice. Thank you.
His question is, with the current gen consoles having access to online capabilities and games usually releasing with online multiplayer modes, why is it that I find some of the online modes feel so tacked on and really not worth being there? An example would be The Darkness. Great single-player experience, however, online, you know, multiplayer modes, Capture the Flag, etc., totally, and excuse his French crap, just a waste of time. Another recent example would be Dark Sector, a good single-player experience, jumped on a multiplayer mode and thought feels tacked on. Could the resource, time, or money be spent better elsewhere? Maybe have a co-op mode or something to give it an edge. Also, don't get him wrong. The majority of games do get it right, but somehow feel when others get it wrong. It would be cool to hear your ideas on the subject. Keep up the dandy work, chaps, and you'll break the 5 listener base very soon.
Woohoo!
Well, thank you.
We've talked about the multiplayer being tacked on in a lot of games. And he brings up
Stranglehold.
Stranglehold's another one. So is Condemned,
too.
I mean, what it is that they feel like they have to have an online mode in a shooter.
Right.
The shooter has to have an online mode. But that's not true, because if you look at BioShock and the Chronicles of Riddick before it, neither one of those had an online mode, and it made the single-player game that much more engaging.
And that's why I think, with, he mentioned The Darkness, that was an awesome first player. Single player. And that's just what it was, a single player. And they just,
the multiplayer,
like you said,
was just tacked on because it was the same guys that did Riddick, and they felt like Riddick got criticism because it didn't have online, so they had to tack it in on The Darkness. And The Darkness's online mode was so unbalanced.
Yep.
I mean, it was neat to run around as the creature for a little bit, but other than that, it was so unbalanced, it wasn't any fun.
I think we're all spoiled now with the new generation.
You gotta have online.
But, I mean, you don't really have to.
You don't have to have online. I think, like, a game like Saints Row is another one that did the online, and the online was kind of eh.
I didn't even get to play it because it wasn't working when
it didn't work. But the new one, I would like to see more co-op. Would be, I mean, if you want to make a great single-player game better, just give the ability to play through the game online co-op.
Yeah. Only problem with that is some games don't lend themselves to co-op.
No, some
games
don't.
BioShock doesn't lend itself to co-op.
No, it doesn't.
BioShock was a good, just...
Single-player.
Thank you. I can't
BioShock couldn't have been co-op because it's got... The part of the feel of the game is the isolation.
Right.
And... That you're alone in this crazy, messed up world.
And that's fine, and I don't have a problem with that, but you know what? I can name you a game that was single-player focused that you could play co-op and it didn't make any sense, and it was excellent. It was Resistance.
Yeah.
Who's the other guy? You can play co-op split-screen. Who the hell's the other guy? It doesn't matter.
Yeah,
it just gives you the ability to go back and play through it with somebody else.
Yeah, but it lends itself better to a game like Resistance than it would a game like BioShock or Condemned. I mean, you couldn't play Condemned co-op. It wouldn't have the same feel to it.
Yeah, because essentially BioShock and Condemned are both horror genres. So,
I mean, it's not always going to work, but at the same time, if you don't need to feel the need to have online, spend more time on the single player. Whereas, you know, Dark Sector works great single player, multiplayer is kind of blah. Same way with Condemned. Condemned is so good, single player, that it makes up for the fact that the multiplayer stinks, and it makes you wish they'd have given you a few more levels single player instead of even bothering with the online.
Yeah.
Could have made it great. All right. Next up, a couple questions from Lil Bush.
Lilbush.
He says, why is it that game publishers never release games during the summer, knowing that kids have the time, they have jobs to spend the money to, but they never do? Also, with GTA 4, Wii, Mario Kart, GT 5 Prologue, Ninja Gaiden 2, and Metal Gear Solid 4 coming out basically during the summertime, how does this summer compare to the more recent summer years?
It's going to be an awesome summer.
Those games right there, just wow.
Yeah, I don't remember last summer.
Last summer was BioShock in August.
Yeah, but that was late. Yeah,
that
late
was
summer.
Late summer, so it didn't even really. It didn't. I mean, it did a lot because it came out in August. But other than that, there wasn't a whole lot
right.
during the summer last year.
Right.
Yeah.
The reason that game companies don't usually do the summer thing is though kids have more time to play the games during the summer, and some of them do have jobs. By and large, kids aren't buying games for kids. Parents are buying games for kids.
Yeah.
And Christmas gives them a fantastic excuse to do so. Because most parents don't even think about how much money they're spending at Christmas. They just get what their kid wants and goes on.
But the publishers really need to look at the idea of like their lower key games.
Right.
Like, for instance, this year it would be Prototype. Prototype would be a great game to get out in the summertime to let people toy around with it. I mean, that would be a really good one. There's a lot of games that could do well, like Haze is another one. But then you sandwich it in between these other two huge games, like we mentioned before, and then you put a little stink on it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, so. And we've talked about the release timing several times on the show. It's very, very, very important.
I think if Haze would have made it out in like February or March, it would have done a lot more than what it's going to do coming out in May.
Oh, absolutely.
Or even if you would have held off until August or September.
Late summer, early show.
Yeah. Because then you have... But then again, if you look at August and September, you have Mercenaries 2 and Star Wars Force Unleashed, two big-name games that Haze would probably get overlooked again, so...
Haze has a stronger ability to compete with The Force Unleashed and Mercenaries 2 than it does to compete with Grand Theft Auto and Metal Gear.
Well, yeah, you're talking about two games,
different leagues.
But you're also talking about Mario Kart's in there, too.
Yeah, right.
And people keep forgetting about Mario Kart, but you're looking at three franchises that sell systems.
Right.
Mm. I mean, so.
But yeah, it's a sad fact of the industry is that at this point, release timing has almost as much to do with sales as the quality of the game itself.
Which, typically, summer is a really good time, but not this summer, but for, like, Haze, maybe.
Right.
If it holds off till next summer, but...
If it holds off till next summer, people are just going to stop caring.
Well, I'm just saying, if it was introduced, you know, recently, summer is really a typically good time to get your lesser-known game out there.
Yeah.
Typically.
I really like the new idea of not hyping a game until... It's within 4 to 5 months of release, which Nintendo's been doing for ages.
Yeah, I was about to say Nintendo's very good at that.
But you look at Mortal Kombat, it gets announced in April. It'll be here in November.
Right.
So that's great because then you don't spend a year and a half caring, not caring,
overanalyzing,
caring, not caring, you know, getting too much hype built.
Yeah,
can you say
too human?
Yeah.
We can say, can you say home?
Yeah.
The myth that is both of them?
Yes.
True.
Which
that.
I'm still convinced that neither one of them is ever coming out.
I'm too starting to coming out.
All right,
it
next
is coming
up,
out, or I will cry.
Second part of his question says, so far, what have been your three favorite games this gen? Don't you love these your favorite game questions?
My three favorite games this gen.
I can give you one off the top of my head, which is Crackdown.
Crackdown, Call of Duty 4 is another one of mine. I like Call of Duty.
Mass Effect.
Mass Effect.
I'd say Crackdown, Rock Band. I'm trying to think of what the third one would be for me. Good silence time going on while everybody's
thinking. Yeah.
You know, oddly enough,
Dead Air.
Halo 3 would be on the list, probably for a lot of people.
I'd say if I had to pick three, I definitely would put Rock Band and Guitar Hero probably in the same category and say that's one big chunk for me. And then Crackdown, I just can't stop loving that game. I can't stop loving.
Can't stop loving.
Can't stop loving Crackdown. Probably, you know, the third one I'd probably say would be Rainbow Six. So I play that so much. I mean, if I had to pick them.
For me, I'd say Mass Effect, Oblivion, and Uncharted are probably my three.
Uncharted was one I thought of. I almost put it on there.
You
said Crackdown and Call of Duty.
And Call of Duty. I'd say Uncharted.
There you go.
Because I haven't delved too much into Mass Effect, but I'm going to stick with Uncharted.
Uncharted was a great game.
I have to say Mass Effect and Super Mario Galaxy.
That's a good one.
That is a good one.
And I don't know about the third one. The third one is like a multi-game like tie between Uncharted, BioShock, Halo 3.
See, I based mine totally on what I played the most.
Yeah.
And I played Rainbow Six Vegas, Rock Band and Guitar Hero, and Crackdown more than I've ever played, like, any game this generation. As much as I love BioShock and Mario Galaxy and all this other stuff, Rainbow Six Vegas, I have probably sunk 200 or 300 hours into that game.
I'd probably have to say Lost Odyssey would be up there.
There's just been too many good games. And I'm, like, flipping through magazines now, and I'm looking at previews of games coming out. And you sit down and look at all the games coming out in the next, like, 6 months, and you cry.
It's terrible.
My wallet just goes,
It's terrible for the wallet, but it's pretty awesome if you don't have any life.
I am totally beginning to believe that there are too many games coming out. Because they're coming out too fast. Because we don't even get time to finish the last one before the next five are out.
Yeah.
I am so totally starting to believe that.
And then on top of that, you got your Xbox Live Arcade games improving, you know, becoming more like an actual disc quality game. So then you're buying downloadable games on top. And in between,
then you're getting downloadable games of the caliber of like Castlevania and Soul Calibur now.
Yeah.
So
it's a good time to be a gamer.
Definitely is. All right. Next question. He says, since he didn't believe we mentioned it, what was our impression of the Resistance 2 trailer? Did anybody see it?
I did not.
Did you?
I did not.
Apparently, I'm the only one that saw
you're
this
the
trailer.
Only one
the
that
teaser
saw it.
Trailer. You know what? It gets me excited, but at the same time, Resistance isn't one of the games I played for the story, which is what the teaser was all about. And I know I get criticized a lot because I don't pay much attention to stories and first-person shooters, but that's really what the teaser was, where he walks out and he sees all this big, crazy like aliens invading and stuff. It looks epic, which is what the game description shows. So, I mean, epic is a good word to use for this
game. Oh, yeah.
So, and that's another November release that you're going to have to deal with giant 16-player co-op.
Life was simpler with one system.
Yep, it can be.
Actually, it was simpler with two systems.
Yeah. Altus One says, "What's up? First off, you guys are welcome for the links to the mods for
Unreal
Tournament.
Thank you again.
Recently, he's noticed that he's become really sick of the word." I'm about to say, that word is exclusive. I can't read one gaming site, magazine, or commercial without reading or hearing the word. Like recently with the crappy and static COD 4 maps being exclusive for 360 for 21 days. I feel the word is just ammunition to any fanboy flame war. Are you guys sick of hearing this word as well, and do you think this generation is the era of the exclusive? You're nodding your head, but you didn't say anything.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody
yes.
can hear you nod your head.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so sick of hearing the word exclusive at this point.
Yeah, same here.
It's just, you know, everything is exclusive anymore. I've never heard the word exclusive more in my entire gaming life than in this generation.
Yeah.
And it's all, you know, it's all because people are getting so wrapped up in the war instead of the games themselves.
It's become political.
Right. Right.
Just like anything.
Right.
Just like back in the days, comic books were comic books. Now it's like, are you a DC guy or a Marvel guy? And it's a big war.
It's always got to be a fight as to which one's better than the other one. And exclusive is just, it is fuel.
And you know what?
That's all it is.
You know what else I get sick of? I get sick of people using the, I care if it's an exclusive or not because exclusives are always better than multi-platforms as an excuse for wanting a game to go exclusive to their system, when in reality, they don't even care about that. When in reality, most of them just want the game to be exclusive to their system for bragging rights. And they use the whole, exclusives are usually better than multiplats as sort of a more logical reason for their fanboy divisiveness.
Fanboy, right, yeah.
When in actuality, it being multi-console is better for the future of the series. Because
agreed.
It has option to sell more copies if it's on multiple systems. Look at Devil May Cry 4. That game sold a ton on both systems. Right. So, you know, and I don't think it would have reached those numbers had it only been on one system.
Yeah.
Army of Two is doing the same thing. It's selling a shit ton because it's on two systems. Guitar Hero. How do you think Guitar Hero sells 10 million copies? It's on every freaking console, man.
I don't get why the maps...
The maps is stupid.
I don't... What they have every... PS3 owners have every right to play those new maps just as much as 360.
But
why are they timed
exclusive?
Who paid
the money for it? It's what it is. That's, it's just like the GTA 4 DLC. That's all it is.
It's ridiculous. I'm tired of this kind of shitty war. Just need to coexist peacefully.
They can try to coexist peacefully. I think the problem is...
The problem is... Even if the two companies try and coexist peacefully, the fanboys won't coexist peacefully.
Yeah.
So I mean, as much as Sony and Microsoft do stuff to sort of feed the flames, the real war isn't between Sony and Microsoft. It's between Sony fanboys and Microsoft fanboys.
Which I know that you had to see that I got involved in a couple of these arguments on the forums over the past week. I got involved in one argument over the fact that Microsoft took a stab at the install time for Grand Theft Auto, which I made the comment, I think it's funny, because it's not like Sony didn't make the comments about Xbox 1.5 or, you know, all this other stuff.
Last Gen Rumble.
And I remember Sony making fun of Mario with the Crash Bandicoot commercials, and I remember Saturn making fun of PlayStation. I mean, I remember all these things.
Sega
these
does
things,
what Nintendo don't.
Exactly.
Yeah.
These things make me laugh, and the other one I got involved in... Oh, what was it? Oh, hell, I don't even remember at this point. But, it was the NPD numbers that came up. That before they went out, somebody posted a forum and said, did the PS3 outsell the 360 this month? And I go, why? Do you care? Do you have stock in Sony?
Right.
And he's like, no, I just want to know because, you know, this, this, and this. I'm like, but it doesn't matter.
Right.
None of it ever matters which console outsells the other console. It's just good that they're... You know what's great right now? All the systems are selling over 200,000 units a month. All of them. We're selling over 200,000 units a month. This continues in this trend. Gaming's going to be healthy as hell.
Right.
You shouldn't care.
Right. Yeah, it's going to be part of the social culture of the future.
Yeah. And the other thing is, as far as, you know, that excuse, the whole, well, you know, whichever one sells the more gets more exclusives and gets more games, that's true in the instance of one console completely annihilating the other console. But when... You know, like this month, 360 outsells the PS3 by 5,000 units.
That doesn't matter.
5,000 units. That's nothing. All that is fuel for fanboys to say, oh, well, ours is winning. Oh, well, ours is winning. And then use the whole, well, the more consoles we sell, the more games we'll get, as an excuse, once again, to feed the fanboy fires back and forth.
It's the same thing everywhere.
Everywhere.
It just keeps going on. He ends up by saying that, P.S., he's with Brian, and that if Judy Nails was real, I'd hit it, but I might need some penicillin, but I'd still hit it. He's also one of the last sane gamers that thinks Prologue is a glorified and overpriced demo. One more way to nickel and dime your customer with only $10 and $20 bills. Just one more thing that Sony has copied from Microsoft and EA to be one of the cool kids.
Everybody's nickel and dime.
But then he also says, edit, he has no willpower, so he bought Prologue, and it's pretty good.
And it looks so pretty.
It looks so pretty. Said. And he says, PSSS, we need to hit up some UTs.
Which is the truth. We really do.
We really do. All right, the next question, and I'm glad this question actually got, you know, people actually know we write reviews.
Right. That's good.
Time Streamer, which once again, he changed his freaking name.
The only way we know who it is anymore is because of the avatar and the signature.
Yeah, that's the only reason I know.
So you need to like pick one name and just kind of stick with it so we know who it is.
He says, hey crew, the question is, when you review a game, do you get to keep a copy of the game or do you have to return it? Also, do you ever listen to your own podcasts?
I do.
I listen to it once to make sure everything's kosher. Just to hear it from beginning to end.
I do not.
I know Killer Wolverine does it.
Negative.
I know Peterson does.
I feel...
Especially when he's not here. Yeah.
The few times I have tried to listen to our podcast, like at work or whatever, I feel very self-conscious listening to our podcast.
Yeah. It's like you're listening to yourself.
Right. Yeah. It's, I mean, it almost... I feel... had a, I kind of almost feel arrogant listening to the podcast. I'm like, why am I listening to myself talk? And why am I listening to the same conversation that we just had?
Yeah.
I was involved in the conversation. Why am I listening to the conversation?
I listen to it mostly to make sure that I edited everything out of it right. And that everything sounds good from beginning to end. And that there wasn't anything weird going on during the show that I didn't know about.
Like cats meowing in the background.
Or dogs barking.
Or say something.
Say something. I can't wait to hear that, I tell you. as far as reviewing games, we always get to keep the copies that they send us, minus one company, which is Nintendo. Nintendo, the last time I had them, required you to play the game and then send it back. So, and I also recently, for Nippon Ichi, we had a Poochie Poochie virus review that we had to send back because they had limited copies. But 9 times out of 10, we get to keep them, and they are retail copies.
Right.
So, to answer that question.
There you go.
All right. Next up, McGraw Gamer. He says he has a question. With competition Sony is facing this gen with the 360 and the Wii, do you think Sony's initiative focus on first-party titles will alienate third-party support? Reason he asked is because he has a lot of buddies who own PS3 who are dropping Call of Duty in favor of GTA 4, then after GTA 4, only on Gran Turismo, and then Metal Gear until Resistance 2 comes out. That's about 6 guys. He wonders if their actions are indicative of the PlayStation 3 gamers. On top of that, he recently read that Guy Kroll's article on PS3 being an afterthought. Keep the show rolling so he can continue to win our contests.
I read that article as well, and it was a very good article.
That guy writes really good articles.
Yeah. So, I do think that it's a problem for Sony right now. I do think that it's a problem that is being rectified. I don't think that third-party support for them right now is as bad as it was, say, 6 months ago.
No.
As far as games coming over looking, you know, much better on the 360 than they did on the PS3. It's definitely, at this point, the differences between the two, as far as multiplats go, are usually the same, you know, tiny little differences that we mentioned only fuel fanboy wars. So I think it's something that they're trying to correct because they see that it could develop into a problem. But then again, it's early in the console's life cycle, so it's a little too early to say one way or the other whether or not it's going to be a huge problem.
Yeah, and with Sony, it's always been important for their third party because they've made so many franchises huge that are third party, like Final Fantasy, Metal Gear Solid, Grand Theft Auto. Their third party support is very important to them because they make a lot of great games third party.
Right.
So I think they really need to stay focused on that because as good as their first party is, and I still think it's the second best first party Sony's is behind Nintendo. But still, I think that they need to continue to focus on third-party because that's where a lot of their stuff comes from.
Well, and two, I think it's not so much an issue for third-party exclusives. It's an issue for third-party multi-platform games in that if a developer is going to make the game on 360 and PS3, that's when it becomes a problem.
Yeah.
And there are some developers, LucasArts, for example, Criterion, who are switching to the PS3 for lead development platform. Because it's easier for them to create it for the PS3 and port it to the 360 than vice versa. They come out with a better game on both ends. As far as third-party exclusive support, it's not really an issue. Because, number one, a lot of the third-party companies that supported Sony exclusively have been bought by Sony and are now first-party developers. And number two, the ones that aren't have such a strong relationship with them that that's not really in jeopardy as much as it is the multi-platform games.
True that. True that. Next up, question comes from Ja Ja Ja.
Ja Ja Ja.
Ja Ja Ja.
I like
he says,
that name.
Love the show. Keep it up. Just wondering how you guys feel about the health system in first-person shooters. We have the health bar system like in Half-Life and Bioshock, then we have regenerating shields like in COD4 and Halo. Which do you guys prefer?
I like the Halo.
You like regenerating health?
Yeah.
Do you think it makes the game too easy?
No. No.
Why would it make it too easy? It's essentially the same. It's
because all you got to do is take cover for a couple seconds so you get all your health back.
Well, if you're playing on Legendary.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Because if you play it on the harder modes, you get hit once, you're fucking dead.
Well, that's what he says. He says, you know, do you guys think regenerating health is cheap? Because Call of Duty 4 on Veteran is killer, and it is killer.
I think it's all subject of balance.
Right.
I mean, both Halo and BioShock could be the same level of difficulty, even though their health. You get in one game you use health packs, in the other game you have health regeneration, but the rate of damage taken per attack, you know, if you find that balance, then both games could be on the same level of challenge.
I think on that aspect it does depend, because Halo and Call of Duty is not so much fast paced, but when you're like Halo, it's so fast paced you don't have really time to go look for a health pack. It's just it's not really necessary.
No, yeah. I don't like health packs because you just have to go around looking for them like in Uncharted. That's one of the things I didn't like was finding health packs.
Yeah.
You know, I like regenerating health. Mm. It's well, much...
Uncharted has a regenerating health too.
Does it have health packs?
No,
I don't think so.
I've never seen a health pack.
Game,
it just assists.
I must be thinking of a different.
The screen just turned gray.
Right, screen turns black and white.
Oh,
when
that's
you're
right.
Killed. It works.
It
regenerating
was the ammo that pissed
right,
me off.
Right. Regenerating health works for. Games like Uncharted, games like Gears of War, games like Halo, games like Call of Duty 4, where in Halo and Call of Duty 4, it's, like you said, those four games especially, there's a very tactical approach to it. So there's a whole kind of strategic side of making sure that you just kind of pop out, shoot long enough that you don't die, go back in. A game like BioShock works with the health meter. Because there's a level of tension that you kind of get to when you're real low on health. So, like you said, Gambus, it just depends on the game. Like, it's all about the game.
It's all about the game.
It's all about the balance. The world.
Yeah.
All right. Next question comes from Conan the Librarian. He says, great episode last week. Keep them coming. He has kind of a long question. Says he was playing through Brawl, and after beating the subspace emissary mission and just trying to score 100%, it struck him that if he was on his 360, he'd be getting achievements as opposed to the trophies. Games, though, don't even have close to anything the scope of amount of trophies and stickers that Brawl does. So my question is, are gamers still going for completion and secrets on games, even Wii and PS3, that don't have some sort of bragging rights reward aside from the usual new gameplay mode and things like that? Or are achievement farmers, beginning
nice.
To cause those games to fade into the background?
Oh, that's a pretty good question.
It is. Yeah. I think in some aspects it is, because outside of the achievement points, if you're not getting like something substantial, gamers feel like it's not worth going for. For instance, like Resistance has like sort of an achievement system in it, but at the same time, it doesn't really unlock anything super special until you get a lot of them. Uncharted's another one that unlocks achievements, but it unlocks concept art. But let's all be honest about it at this point. Who really cares about concept art, and whoever has cared about concept art? Do you play for concept art?
The only concept art I want is an art book that I can physically put on freaking coffee table.
But that's what I'm saying. The concept art, do you care? You know, like in a game when it says, ooh, you've unlocked new concept art. Do you really care? Is that something you would strive for?
I'd rather have a documentary.
Uncharted's got some other good unlockables, though.
There's a lot of other unlockables, but I'm just saying it.
Right, no, I gotcha. No, concept art.
Yeah, concept art. That's pretty lame. I'd rather have it as a physical book.
Now, for a different example, Mortal Kombat Deception, with its giant coffin system, there was something cool in a lot of those, like little factoids about...
And you didn't know which one... If you didn't have a cheat guide or a strategy guide...
You had no idea what was in there.
Yes, it was kind of like... It was kind of like an addiction.
You get
to just see videos like
the scorpion cooking with
scorpion,
which was awesome.
Yeah, Deception had great unlockables.
Yeah, and that's not achievements, but I understand where he's coming from now. Outside of Super Smash Bros., there hasn't really been a game that had good enough unlockables to keep people playing, whereas achievement points have gotten people addicted. And the thing is, it's not just the achievement that gets people into it, it's the cumulative score across every game.
Right.
Is what it is.
Right.
That's what people love. The fact that people can go online and see what you've done is what makes it so
I personally
love.
Like achievements just so I can get the full value of the game. Because if I beat a game and I don't know what else I can do, I trade it in. Now you can
actually... but you only do that because it shows up on your gamer card. Think about
it. Well, no, I Uncharted did the same thing.
Did you go back and play it again?
Not yet.
Do you own it?
No, but when I had the money, I will buy it so I can play it again and go through and try to get the rest of those.
See, for me, it's just about the cumulative score because of Uncharted. After I beat it, I didn't go back, but I loved getting them throughout the game.
The, a big part of the draw to achievements, rather than like the unlockables in Brawl, is it's narcissism. I mean, it really is. It's a simple fact of, yeah, you can go through Brawl and you can get 100% on this, 100% on that, and it's cool. But the goal in collecting it anyway is to say, you know, look how awesome I am at this game. Well, with achievements, you get badges on your gamer score that show everybody how awesome you are at this game. Instead of just having to say, hey, I've got 100% completed in Brawl. If it was on the 360, people could just look at your gamer card and see
that you did it.
This guy's got this, and this. And, you know, it's just, it's basically, it's just like the old arcade high scoring system, only now your high score is broadcasted to the entire world on your gamer card, rather than you having to tell people and them, well, I don't really believe that you've got 100%. Now it's right there for everybody to see.
Yeah, we don't have any more having to send videotapes.
Right.
And if you're stuck in a particular game, you can like see someone has that achievement. Hey, how'd you get it?
Right.
There you go. Well, to kind of wrap this up, we have two more questions. The first one we already covered. Sylvanas wants to know our thoughts on Marvel or Mortal Kombat versus DC. So we already kind of gave those.
Yeah. Stoked.
Last question comes from Silfo. I'll let you finish this out, Con, because I think I'm about to explode inside my head. But he says, if I got my time zones right, I should be able to squeeze this in before the next podcast, if you get this far. For those of you with a portable gaming system, when and where do you play them the most? And does anyone regularly hook up their PSP to a TV? Really?
I've done it once.
Just to see if it worked?
Yeah, just to see if it worked. I'll probably do it in the future.
I've got the old
often.
I've got the old fat PSP, so no. Although there are some games I would like to see, some PSP games I would like to see on the big TV, like Patapon. I would like to see what it looks like on the big TV.
I was playing Ultimate Ghouls and Ghosts on a big 55-inch Bravia. And the thing is, though, it looked pretty sweet other than the fact that the colors seemed to be off going into the TV. But
and where do you play yours most?
Where do I play mine most? Well, I don't really like to admit this, but probably at work. Sneak a play every now and then.
I play mine mostly.
Wait, aren't you security?
Yes.
I play mine mostly on my lunch break at work. Like if I'm in my car and I've got nothing to do or nobody to talk to, I play my PSP. I also play it a lot at night if I'm in bed and, you know, I'm not really all that tired. I just kind of lay there and play the PSP until I get tired and fall asleep. And I also play it in the lavatory.
In the laboratory, what are you doing?
Much more entertaining than reading a book.
Yes.
Yeah, the thing is, yeah, I work in security, but I got my mind programmed to look up and look at the monitors about every 10 to 15 seconds.
I was just messing with you. You don't have to defend yourself.
I'm defending myself. Dude, I've studied before the council.
Holy, you know, I just got to say this. We did an awesome job at hitting this right on.
Yeah,
just
I know.
About.
That's why I was trying to close it up there. We have hit our sweet spot, and
yeah,
we are finished.
The sweet spot.
We have closed out for the weekend. We have also emptied the Cue the Crew thread.
Yeah, so fill it back up.
Fill the Cue the Crew thread back up. Continue to post the questions. Continue to send all your stuff in for the top stories of N4G for the week.
Oh, I got something else. I got something else. On iTunes, there's an option to give us a comment or a review on iTunes. And there's a couple of them up there right now. And thank you for putting up the reviews and stuff. But those of you who are listening and have access to iTunes, if you have any spare time, just drop by there, give us a review. Because I think if we break like 100 reviews, the podcast will actually be like on the front page of certain iTunes sections. So it'll give us a lot more access to get the podcast out to more people, you know. So,
well, there you go. That's what you should do this week. If you enjoy our show,
yeah,
go to iTunes, give us a review.
Even if you don't enjoy it, go to iTunes, give us a review.
Yeah, that's fine if you want to do that. But if we, if you want to get us out, we would love to show up on the front page of iTunes. That would just make our day.
Oh yeah, it would. So
if you get a chance, right out there, make a vote.
It makes my day just showing up on the front page of N4G. That's
there you go. We do that every week. There you go. But that wraps up the show. We'll be back next week to talk more about some stuff. So fill up the Cue the Crew thread. And if you have any more suggestions, comments, feel free to PM any one of us.
And if you have any nose spray for Zero, can you please send it to his house?
Can you please do that? Yes, because I'm tired of sounding like Billy Joe. My head's going to explode. So, Mr. Cod, could you make the listeners' ears explode so we can get out of here?
Moonlandings faked by NASA, the murder of President Dye. The government was behind 9/11, Scientology's the new crime. It was created by man, the media's run by Jews. Paul McCartney is dead, what are lies and what
testing 1, 2, 3, 4.
This is how I'm gonna have to sound because of my
half the sound.
This
is gonna have to sound. You kind of sound like what's his name, Billy Joe from Green Day.
That could work.
You got the kind of nasal thing going on.
Yeah, the nasal.
I walk a lonely road where I always sound like I'm congested. Get me some Afrin.